welcome to Bunda Vista episode 359. I'm Theo, and I'm a park dilf. I'm dressed like I'm stressed, but keeping it together. My hair, which is now turning salt and pepper in colour, is due for a cut, but still styled, indicating a subtle balancing of priorities in my life. By far my sexiest element, though, is the attention and care I pay to my son Crampton, who does not deserve it. That little shit has the manners of a rat in a watering can, and he is tear-arsing around the park like a warlord, shouting nefarious demands at anyone and everyone in his range. Oh, Crampton, you use your body and mind like cudgels here, and at the Montessori pre-kindy, there's putting your well-meaning parents in the poorhouse. But has Crampton met his match? Because look who is here! The most hated fraternal twins in the inner suburbs, Moxie and Piss. More than the sum of their parts, these two creatures of hatred are prowling the grounds and using their superior numbers to surgically target and take over great sections of the playground for their own nebulous needs, like velociraptors with matching iPads, and doing his absolute best to keep order and control, despite the crime of a hand his god has dealt him with these twin Milosevic's, looking absolutely dilfed up front and back, wearing the hell out of a flannelette button-up and perfectly fit jeans. It's Andrew! Hey, buddy. Another day in the trenches, huh?
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, man.
Stop pantsing those other kids, guys. Stop pantsing those other kids. Not cool.
Look, hands and feet to ourselves, Crampton.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Hands in your own pants, Crampton.
Yeah. And you know how it is.
Kids just these days.
There are an impressive showing of dilfs at gymnastics now, at our kids' gymnastics.
Just got my eyebrows threaded.
Yeah.
Got my facelift done.
You're looking good, and your children are terrors.
Well, I can only put so much time into upkeep, and I can either do upkeep on developing their personalities.
Yes.
Their ability to see other humans as humans.
Yes.
Not just means to an end, or maybe some kind of roadblock in the way of getting what they want.
Sure.
Or
upkeep on those fillers.
Yeah,
looking
or I can be
snatched.
I could be painting my goatee with like Hair Club for Men jet black.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's always jet black.
It's always jet black. I'm not really neat with it.
It's the most powerful color.
A lot of it just around my mouth, like I've grabbed a big thing of black lipstick and really just gone for it in big circles.
Yeah,
it looks really natural, though.
Yeah.
I can't even notice it.
Yeah, very brat summer of you.
Yeah, the women seem to really respond. The local MILFs seem to respond. But I ignore them as I turn my Tinder settings down to 25.
Absolutely. We are very respectful to the MILFs and DILFs we run into at our respective child playgrounds. But speaking of which, finally, here he is. Not a MILF, but the health department's missing link. Vector number one of disease, dripping a different one from each nostril and making sure everybody gets some of it on them. Why won't he just die? He's got a kind of psoriasis that was previously understood to only be a symptom of Gulf War syndrome. It's Gilpet the Whelp. But moving gracefully in her everyday fit, exhibiting an aura of self-worth and control, not unlike Galadriel, performing her Sisyphean duty to try and wipe her little shit as Gilpet resists with every ounce of his effort in his dying body. It's Lucy.
He's trying to kiss my kids.
There you go.
He's trying to tongue kiss my kids.
Can you keep Gilpet away from
Crampton,
please?
Oh, no.
It's
like it's good for his immune system.
I know
system.
He's expressing himself. But I just don't subscribe to the theory that there is like infinite disease for my children to catch. I believe there is some disease and they live in Gilpet. And I'd like Gilpet not to be
There's a lot of disease that lives in Gilpet.
Yeah. You're also looking great though today.
Oh, thank you. Snatched? Yeah. Brett Summer?
Yeah. Oh, Brett Summer? Brett Summer? Yeah, me too.
Brett Summer. Hey, Theo, are your kids sick by any chance?
No, they're actually good at the moment. It's just a general kind of thread that I've been keeping with Mark, the producer. Whenever I go to like a childcare thing, and there's just a collection of the most wonderful MILFs and DILFs just walking around.
Just really a lot of MILFs and DILFs in your area.
Yeah, like they can't be touched. And then they've got like Scramjet, their fucking shithead of a son going like, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a dinosaur. Fuck you, dude. That's not.
It's not a job.
That's not a job. That's a job.
You sound stupid. So parents need to tell you
and
about the real world.
And you're too old to be saying this as well. Like, four is too old to be saying that.
Yeah.
You should know that jobs are like accountant.
I heard some wild stories about a local shithead kid the other day. And I'm probably too close to this kid to be identifying them on the show. Yeah.
Okay. I'm
going to put them on blast. But, like, this is a kid who has kind of been a shithead the whole time that I've known him, right? Like, I would have encountered this kid, I'm going to say, let's say anywhere up to 4, 5, 6 years ago.
Yeah. What's their address?
What kind of shit? What kind of shithead? Rude? Oh, snotty?
I know where he lives. Just has parents who seem like, if you met them, you would be like, wow, check out these two completely normal people.
Yeah.
With their regular jobs and their polite interactions with other people, their ability to hold a conversation, all totally cool. And then you see them interacting with their shithead son, in which their shithead son, only child, by the way, does whatever the fuck he wants at all times. And the two of them just kind of comment on it like it's a TV show they're watching.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a shame that the plot's going that way this season. If yeah. only someone could do something about it.
They're Lars von Triering, that child.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, and I heard some stuff recently. It's nice as an adult when you meet a kid and you kind of, and you feel a revulsion when you look into their little hamster dead black eyes, you know. It's nice as an adult to some years later still be encountering that kid and go, oh, I was right.
Yeah, I still
I was
that
right
fucking kid.
To feel the way I felt.
Yeah.
About this child.
Yeah,
this
you have you have an unfixable kind of fault in your soul.
Well,
yeah.
His fucking parents ain't fixing
and
it.
And it's
I'll
your
tell
parents'
you right
fault.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. They just see this shit happening and they just go, oh. And then like
he's
he fucks off
like
somewhere
that.
Else and
he's
they
like
go
that.
And they go, boys will be boys.
Mm.
And it's like, will they?
Mm. I guess they will if you don't do anything about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy stuff to like watch somebody build a rapist in real time. Like,
yep.
Where, yeah, like, because you know, we were talking about this the other day. We're just going like, you guys have a son and he gets to do whatever the fuck he wants. And if anybody in his orbit ever goes, hey, that's kind of not cool, the thing that's happening now, he goes and whinges to his parents and then his parents come over and go, hey, hate to be a bother, but could you let my son do whatever the fuck he wants so he doesn't
boy
yell
mom.
At us?
Hashtag boy mom.
Hashtag boy mom.
Other
yeah,
people,
parenting
your parenting's on blast,
now.
Yeah. Except right, we just judge your parenting. Everyone else's parenting.
Okay, I'm pretty sure none of the people involved listen to this podcast. So, a friend of ours is talking about her husband coaches this local soccer team, right? And this shithead kid is on the soccer team. Never goes to a practice, which I kind of thought was part of being on the soccer team. But
yeah, because he's naturally talented.
Never goes to a
he
practice.
He doesn't need it.
Turns up at the games on the weekends, does not play his position in any way, chases the ball for the entire game. When he gets it, just runs straight towards the goal by himself, right? Finally, our friend, the soccer coach, has had enough of this and he pulls him off and says, I need you to play your position. And he goes, I don't know how. And he's like, well, that's one of the things that we look into in practice. You know? That's one of the things we explore during soccer practice. But until you can, like, get with it and play your position, you're going to have to, like, sit out for a while.
Yeah.
Mm. This kid throws a big tanty and he storms off to the crowd where his parents are. And my friend, the coach, can see him gesticulating to his dad and all this stuff. And after a while, his dad comes over and says, now, I'm just the messenger.
Oh, my God. The messenger
no,
for your child. You're the,
not just the
you're
messenger.
The,
you're actually involved
you're the big
in this.
Dog. Yeah. You're the man.
Yeah, you could just go, hey, no, son, that's fucking idiotic.
I heard that and I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Imagine coming over and saying, now, look, I'm just an employee of my son. So don't yell at me. Don't yell
they
at me.
They sound like employees of their son.
It was so crazy to me to just come over and go like, like to make a statement almost elegant in its ability to just such a tiny statement to completely extricate yourself of any involvement in the parenting of your son, their involvement in the after-school activity that you are taking them to every weekend.
I'm just
be
the
like,
messenger. My son thinks you're cringe.
He legit came over and he was like, he was like, look, I'm just the messenger. He feels pretty singled out. And like, obviously, the vibe of the whole thing is like, do me a favor and just fucking put him back in and let him do what he wants.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Otherwise, this is going to be like 20 minutes of trouble when we get home.
Yeah. There is.
I cannot deal with that.
Yeah. I just can't. I can't process the whole idea of just having a kid and then just going, the only thing we're ever going to do when we get involved is to say, hey, what if you just let him do whatever he wanted and there were no consequences for his actions ever?
I've been playing a lot of Slay the Spire lately and, you know, I get like halfway through the first floor and go, you know what? This build isn't working. And I reset. And sometimes, I don't know how to map this one-to-one onto a child. But sometimes the build's just not working.
Well,
I think you can change the approach.
You can say, hey, what if I tried a second attempt? You know, at parenting my child.
I think, like millennial parents, I think we've done a bit of the opposite and been like, we shouldn't hit the kids. Maybe we should just let them do whatever they want and take all of their feelings seriously.
Yeah,
I think we maybe need to find like some middle ground there.
Some middle ground.
You know, there's somewhere between that.
Yeah, where we don't hit them, but we do like maybe surgically remove a finger or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Painless.
Look, easy solution.
Like declawing a cat.
Maybe just whisper to them, I'll kill you. I'll kill you.
You do that again, I'll kill you.
Yeah. Hit your children emotionally. You know?
Exactly.
Bring them down a peg. I'm just like.
Satire, parody.
I told my brother this story and he was like, man, if you didn't want to yell at your kids, what'd you even get into this game for? Oh my God, folks, if you are parenting wrong, we are judging you.
Yeah,
people are talking about it.
It's hard, but it's not that hard. You should have learnt by now.
People are talking about you. You need to know that.
Yeah, everyone's talking about your bad parenting. Your children's behavior reflects on you.
Yeah.
Fuck, it does. And there's like, look, you know, obviously, not every kid has the ability to control their behavior and their emotions the same. This kid, though, he's a spoiled little motherfucker.
Yeah, that's all there is to it. Cunt.
That's all there is to it. Here, have your... hey, calm down and have your fucking PS Vita. Hold on to that for a minute, you know? Oh, you don't want that? Here's your DS. Sorry about that. You don't want that? Here's the Switch, buddy.
Oh, sorry. Here's the Switch.
Sorry, buddy. Here's the Switch.
Sorry. Buy a Fortnite skin.
Yeah. We can't do...
Here's my credit card.
Do the Oculus out here, buddy. The battery doesn't last long enough.
Okay. I'll go get the generator. It's okay. I'll go get the generator. It's in the car like it always is. So we can run the PS5 on road trips. Oh, man. If I...
Yep.
Mm. No, I'm not sure about that one. I was going to say, if I interacted with that kid the way I wanted to, I'd end up in the tabloids. But that's kind of
No, that's fine. You said it. You already said it.
I've already said it, I guess. Just
run with it.
I've already said it. It's time for Tabloid Phenomenon.
Fist-headed man destroys church.
This comes to us from Wales Online. Lucy demanded I did not.
You
read
can just
this
do a British accent.
It.
So, this one's fine. Ben,
no,
put
I'm
this
not,
one.
I'm not
you.
Doing Welsh. I'm not
yeah,
doing
I know.
Welsh.
Not going to challenge you that much.
No. Going to have to start. More people will need to subscribe for me to start like getting a language coach.
Yeah,
you know,
more Welsh people. Got to jump on board.
Company put up woke free zone flag outside its premises, but it's landed in hot water.
Because of woke.
Because of woke.
A Wrexham firm has found itself in hot water for flying a woke free zone flag without the proper permission. Who are you getting permission from for that one?
Where do you get that? You got to file like an application to the council?
Yeah.
You apply to the woke department.
It's probably heritage listed, so they can't put a flag up with
probably.
That.
Probably.
Yeah.
Can I be excused from wokeness today? I don't feel like doing woke. Networld Sports, an online retailer specializing in sports equipment, caused quite the stir when it hoisted the contentious flag at its base on the Wrexham Industrial Estate, which was decried as, quote, offensive, end quote, by a local last November.
I don't know if it's offensive.
I want to see the flag.
I'm telling myself.
Yeah, I need to know what the flag is.
Yeah.
Is there a pirate
on it? Oh, do you
reckon
the flag itself is offensive?
I just want to see the graphic design.
Yeah.
I want to know what color scheme they used.
I think it's got...
you keep going. I'm going to find it.
Is just the game Custer's Revenge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
or
a screenshot from that.
Or did they accidentally make it too much like one of the gender flags? Which
yeah,
would be funny
it,
too.
Did it look like a gender flag? That would be pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alex Lovin, the founder of Networld Sports, stood by the decision to display the flag, arguing that society, including education and the media, was being engulfed by a, quote, cloak of wokeness. Like in Lord of the Rings, you know?
Yeah.
I can tell you this flag, by the way. It's a black flag with like a red stop sign on it that says woke-free zone.
So not stop wokeness or anything.
It just says woke,
the sign,
woke-free zone.
All right.
Ignorance is king. What's the... Like, that's a fucking boring flag.
Yeah.
It's really boring.
Putting the no smoking circle over something. Boring.
Yeah. Make Sonic say it.
Yeah.
Make Sonic say it.
Make
pregnant Sonic say stop wokeness now.
Yeah. Or maybe there's like...
I've got a big baby in my belly.
There's a character with wokeness on its t-shirt and another character is like blowing its brains out. With
yes.
Them. What if Quagmire was blowing its brains out?
Yes. Now,
what,
if you're
what
fucking
if?
Serious about not being woke.
Yeah.
Who's that little dipshit on the bumper stickers that's pissing on stuff?
Calvin?
Get Calvin to piss on wokeness.
Put evil Calvin on there?
Evil Calvin, yeah.
Now we're talking.
Or like bootleg Bart Simpson, you know?
Yeah.
Calvin of the slurs.
It has since come to light that the flagpole, one of three outside the company's headquarters in Bryn Lane, went up without planning consent, reports North Wales Live.
It all comes back to planning permissions.
You didn't ask the council if you
that's
could
really
put
funny.
That pole in.
That's a 6-9 month process.
George that's Orwell so was right, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Following the controversy, a retrospective application for the flagpoles has been lodged with Wrexham Council. Oh, so you're trying to comply with woke?
Ah, looks like you're trying to comply with woke.
Kind of
like
rules and regulations.
You're asking Big Brother for permission to put up your woke-free zone flag, brother? Just put a banner up instead, you know?
So the problem, just to
bumper
be clear,
sticker.
The problem was not the flag.
The contents of the flag.
The contents of the flag. It was just that he didn't have permission for the pole.
Yeah.
He didn't have poll permission.
The other flags are like a Union Jack, of course, next to the work-free zone.
Mm-hmm.
Presumably also didn't have permission for that.
Tear those bad boys down too. Alex Lovin, recognized as the wealthiest young entrepreneur in Wales, according to the Sunday Times Rich List.
Oh, so this guy sucks.
He really sucks.
Wow, he's got £500,000.
Yeah, how rich are you if you're the richest guy in Wales?
Richest young entrepreneur in Wales. He has previously defended the use of woke-free zone. He questioned if the culture of wokeness limited personal growth, particularly amongst the young. Gee, you sound like a guy who's experiencing a lot of personal growth.
Yeah.
You know?
So that's like he's 36.
Just go and have a look. Just put in Alex Lovin into DuckDuckGo.
He looks like such a dork.
He's such a dweeb. He's such a little nerd.
Absolute
loser.
Dweeb loser.
Look at him. He's wearing
young
a bow tie.
Young lib-looking motherfucker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice bow tie, dipshit. And I'm kidding, by the way.
Hold on. I've just got to sign into LinkedIn so that I can look at his.
Look at Alex Lovin.
Some guy in Australia, some designer in Australia looked at your profile. Oh, my reach is increasing.
LinkedIn
much? Founder and CEO of NetWorld Sports, the multi-award-winning Sunday Times Fast Track 100 international sports equipment retailer.
Wow. Cool.
Wonderful stuff. And of course, if you look at his activity on LinkedIn, it's all likes and posts on political stuff.
Yep.
Cool. Reposting an open letter to Sir Keir. Just stuff about Labour's laws.
Cool. He's going to run for office for sure.
Yeah. A
few years.
Someone's got to cube this guy quick.
Cube him up. Him up. Squish him into a cube.
Yeah.
Leave the cube out the front, just under the flagpole. On his stance, the 36-year-old businessman expressed, quote, "It's more than reasonable to question the value of the cloak of wokeness that has enveloped all parts of society, the from education to mainstream media." Expanding on this point, he declared, "Simply put, we question whether the woke narrative is aiding the development of young people, and it would be completely disingenuous to say otherwise if we don't believe in it. The world is a tough place and life is full of challenges."
Yeah, we should make it harder.
Yeah.
Why don't we make it harder for each other?
Let's make it harder for trans people.
Yeah. You know? The world's hard. Let's make it worse for them.
You're getting off too easy, queers and trans people.
Yeah.
This guy thinks you should have a few fucking stumbling blocks put in place, you know? A sense of entitlement or bone idleness won't get you anywhere. We should be building young people up, not pulling them down. How does
flying the woke flag, anti-woke flag, sorry.
Encouraging a culture of mutual respect and tolerance. That one goes in the tearing people down column, I believe.
Like, just as usual, I would love to just ask this guy, like, what's woke?
What's
like,
woke?
Just give me a quick rundown, like, five key facts. What do you mean?
What's the stuff you can't say? What's the stuff you're getting yelled at about, basically? Acceptance and tolerance, that's in the tearing people down column. Getting to say the slurs you want to say, that's building young people up.
That's building you up. It's making you feel empowered. I can say anything I like.
The council will make a decision on the retrospective planning application at a later date. 20 years from now, I'm guessing. Boy, have you ever been so much of a cunt that they put you in the tabloids about it? It's time for more tabloid phenomenon.
Fist-headed man destroys church.
This is also from Wales Online, really reflecting the beauty of Wales.
Yes, it's just as beautiful as England.
Swarms of flies are trapping residents in their homes. Ah.
Some of us have real problems.
This one's really good. It made me so angry reading it.
I watched Alien 3 last night because everyone's talking about Alien because of the new Alien movie.
Oh, I saw Romulus last night.
Oh, yeah.
How was that?
I loved it. It was great. Big fan.
Thumbs up. Getting two thumbs
up.
Big
thumbs up from me. Coming from someone who I'm not sure I've seen the original films.
Okay. Well, that's insane.
Maybe that colors my perception.
That's kind of tracking with what I'm seeing of the general thing where like all of the old head horror nerds are like, oh, I fucking hate this because they're just like redoing story beats from the old ones, and other people are like, I haven't seen the old ones. I love these fresh new story beats.
This is great. Loved it.
It's very good. But yeah, like I think I ended up watching the assembly cut, which is the one after David Fincher like disowned the original cut of the movie because there was so much studio interference with it.
Yes.
And I didn't realize that was his directorial debut.
Yeah.
So that was his first movie, and the studio was all over it because they wanted a big commercial success, but he was just trying to make his nasty, nasty little movie, you know?
Yeah.
And so I watched the assembly cut where they put lots of his original stuff back in, and I didn't know if I had clocked before in the original cut of the movie, the stuff about all the lice all over the planet, that everything is just teeming with lice.
Oh, yucky.
And that's why they have to shave everybody's heads. And that's why they shave Ripley's head.
Uh-huh.
But there's all these shots of stuff that, like, when they first pull her out of the evacuation capsule, like, her body is just fucking covered in these big crawling lice.
Oh.
And there's just huge fucking lice everywhere. And I was like, I'm glad I don't live on the inhospitable prison planet that's covered in lice.
Yeah, you know? That sounds yucky. But you could live in Wales.
Well, it sounds like Wales is maybe what I'm getting at.
I want you to picture in your head what you think a swarm of flies that would, like, stop you from going outside. Like,
how as many an Australian.
What that would look like to you as an Australian.
Like a couple of hundred sort of thing. Like, you'd have to be swatting them away the whole time.
Yeah.
I don't like when they're touching my mouth. I don't like when they're touching my eyelashes.
Yeah.
It's nasty. You know?
Look, flies are nasty. Let's just get that.
They're
nasty. Get out of the way.
Yeah.
Let's get it out of the way. Sure, they look like they're cleaning their hands all the time, but in what?
With what?
You know, do they have hand sanitizer?
Not no, they're just cleaning it with the other hands. It's just making the other hand dirty.
And the hands have been on the dog shit.
Flies are fucking idiots.
Oh, let me wipe the dog shit off this hand with my dog shit.
With the other dog shit hand.
What are you doing? You're pushing it around.
Yeah, I got a brain the size of a grain of sand.
I don't know if this is real.
Nasty little body that poops everywhere.
I saw a video the other day of like a fly twisting its own head off by accident. And apparently this is a thing that happens to it.
What do you mean?
What a cool trick.
Like
hey, check this out.
Because they're always rubbing their hands, and then they also like turn their head and they rub their head too. And I saw like multiple videos of these different flies just accidentally twisting their whole
just
head off their
head
body. And then they rub the head for a bit, and their body like kind of keeps going a little because they have one of those nervous systems that can keep trucking for a little bit when you pull the brain off. You know? Are you looking to see if you can find this, Theo? Because I'm pretty sure I didn't just imagine this, and I'm also pretty sure it wasn't just like a weird fake video. But I'm getting into the demographic now where I have to go, is that real? Am I
is
being
that just
fooled?
Acquired knowledge?
Am I being fooled now?
Yeah.
Yeah, so like if you're stupid enough to accidentally wash your own head off.
And none of us are on this podcast.
Nope.
Just it's FYI.
Yeah, there we go. Just looking at a Reddit thread. about flies known to accidentally behead themselves while over grooming.
That's so funny. Oops.
That's cool. Yeah, so that's your little bit of nature knowledge for the day, everybody. Flies
thanks.
Accidentally popping their own heads off. Dozens of fed-up homeowners say the insects have been making their lives miserable for the past few years, but this summer has been the worst yet. Residents claim they've been left trapped in their homes as thousands of flies besiege their village, creating a living nightmare. Households in Leicester Forest, East Village, have found themselves in an ongoing battle with the insects, particularly this summer, which has seen conditions worsen. The fear of an insect invasion forces many to keep windows and doors firmly shut, resulting in sleepless nights with bugs crawling on them. The influx of flies has disrupted outdoor activities, with children reportedly unable to play outside, forcing families to relocate summer gatherings indoors, or otherwise ruining the summer holidays. Comparisons have been made to, quote, living in a miniature version of Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds, by one disgruntled inhabitant.
The flies.
It's not everything that's miniature, just the birds are miniature?
Yeah, they're like, they're flies instead
they're
of birds.
Flies?
Because if you were also miniature, it'd still be a lot like the birds.
And it'd still just kind of be like the birds.
It'd be like the birds if you were also miniature. Yes, that's correct. If
Yeah, let's really clean this up for them. Let's do a little little rewriting here. So it's like you're living in a version of Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds with miniature
but with
birds.
Flies.
With
miniature
birds,
flies.
The birds,
and flies
the birds that occasionally
small,
decapitate themselves.
The birds are small and they are insects.
Now that'd be a cool twist on the birds.
If they all just decapitated themselves, they were like,
But yeah. It only happens to flies, the fucking stupidest pieces of shit out there.
Real negative aura on flies coming from you.
I don't like them.
You don't like them.
What have they done for me lately?
Yeah, that's true.
Honestly, got those shiny eyes. What are you doing with them? Locals point fingers at a local recycling center, exacerbated by higher temperatures and less frequent bin collections for the aggravating
fly problem. 25 degrees.
Mm. You guys don't know what it's like till you've had your bin cooking in 45 degree heat. You put all your prawn shells from Christmas
day
dinner
one
in
of
there.
The cycle, going like, I'm not going to put this in the freezer until bin day, surely.
Oh man, last year for Christmas we hosted a lot of family. Yeah. And so we had 13 people here for Christmas and Christmas Day and Boxing Day and stuff. And Eleanor's parents bought like 7 kilos of prawns in a big styrofoam thing full of ice, you know? And so I was cooking lots of the other food, and somebody else was taking care of peeling the prawns because I don't care for it. Honestly, I'm not a big prawn guy.
Yeah.
I'll eat a couple if like my wife has peeled them for me because I'm a big baby who likes somebody else to get his prawns ready for him. You know, if somebody else has gone to the effort of peeling them and there's like a bit of cocktail sauce, stuff like that. Sure. Mm-hmm. I'll eat a couple of prawns, but I'm not sitting down for like a session of prawns.
Yeah. I'm not a big prawn head.
Like people like to do, you know, yeah. I kind of feel like that broadly about seafood anyway. I'm sure I've said it before.
Prawns kill me.
Crab, well, yeah, you've got that going
prawns
for you.
Make me die.
Crabs, way too much effort for what's going on there. Yeah. You know, you're getting real messy. You're getting little shards of shell everywhere. Also, you can suck like a little sliver of...
I'm glad you're saying
it. Crab meat belongs inside the crab as well. Yeah. Like more so... You
say that
about all animals, but more so than other animals. The crabs took great effort to make their meat on the inside.
Yeah. Yes. They don't want you to get to it. We should respect it.
We do have to respect it. You know, at a certain point, it's like, why am I working against nature?
What's wrong with imitation crab, you know?
Yeah.
I love a crab stick.
I love a crab stick.
I don't care if they caught a bunch of krill and packed it into the shape of a stick.
I don't care what it is. I just don't think about it.
Yeah. If it's good enough for whales, it's good enough for me. They're beautiful, soulful creatures. I can eat what they eat. You know, that's fine. Crabs, lobsters. I just think it's all a bit overrated to me, you know. So we have these 7 kilos of prawns, and like I said, I'm engaged in cooking lots of other stuff. So somebody else, Eleanor's brother, has peeled a whole bunch of the prawns. You know, they're all in, and he's peeled all the shells into the styrofoam container with the ice and stuff in it. And so all that happens. We have people for Christmas and everything, and then we go away. We go away somewhere else. We're traveling over the Christmas holidays to visit someone. We're gone for like a week or whatever. And we come back and I'm in the laundry and I see a lot of flies out the window. And I'm like, what's going on out there? And my eyes happen upon the styrofoam box that all the prawns came in.
Oh, no.
That it turns out that to make room, somebody had just taken the box that had the ice and all the prawn shells in it. And just popped it out the back behind the laundry, like outside.
Yeah.
And that is where it had sat in the summer sun for over a week while we were away somewhere. And I saw it and went, oh, boy.
See, your mistake was you got to get on that immediately. As soon as the prawns are done, you got to pick that up and take it to the public bin in your local park.
Or you can also employ the strategy of putting them all in like a plastic bag and freezing the plastic bag, you know?
And then putting it in
all
the
that sort of thing.
Public park.
But like I said, I was very occupied with catering for a whole bunch of people, and somebody else peeled all the prawns, and then the box just left, and it wasn't in my line of sight anymore. Yeah. You know, so it's just not in my presence of mind. The approach ended up being. So this thing is like crawling with flies and they can't even get inside the putrid box, you know?
Oh, they just want in.
Yeah. They were like, we know it's a good time in there due to our proclivities, due to our filthy natures, you know?
Yeah. We like yuck stuff.
We want to wash our hands in that water, they said.
Yeah.
So I ended up with like a packing tape gun just sealing this thing closed, very gingerly putting it into a big garbage bag, sealing it all up as much as I could and transporting that directly to the bin. I had absolutely...
That's a good plan. Don't open it.
Oh, Eleanor was like, we'll just tip it down the drain. And I was like, I cannot tell you how much I'm not
just
opening
don't think
that
about it.
Little pipe treat. I will not be opening the Ark of the Covenant in my backyard. No.
Ooh, yucky.
No. So that's when I had seen a lot of prawns and flies. What? Locals are pointing the fingers. Their lives reportedly overwhelmed by the pests. With fly traps laden with dead flies decorating their homes. Gemma Clark, a 36-year-old mother and part-time special needs school worker, said her children have been left in tears by the problem. She said, I'm swatting flies constantly. I dread cooking a meal, and we can't have any doors or windows open. The children cannot play. We cannot sit in the garden. We've not had a paddling pool this year. Their summer's just been ruined. The kids hate it. They just end up crying.
This is so funny. Like, I didn't realize until living in a different country. Like, it probably depends on the state. I've spent a lot of summers in the US. Like, we've got flies here that you're so used to in Australia, right? Like, they're talking about this like it's so dramatic, and then you realize they're just talking about like a normal summer amount of flies. Like, they're fucking annoying. You need to have a fly screen. Like, they get in the house.
Yeah.
You have to kill them. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I see.
We got a fly swatter. We whack them.
Yeah.
I see, footage of Americans sometimes, and they're having, like, a barbecue and stuff like that outdoors, and they just have all this, like, uncovered food sitting out.
Yeah.
I'm like, no.
Aren't the flies going to get that?
No.
No, they're not.
Even though we have a nice outdoor area at which we could sit and eat food and stuff like that, I would so much rather eat inside at the normal table and then just go sit out there with a drink or whatever. Outdoor dining in an Australian summer is like you can either be very preoccupied with keeping the flies off the food.
Yeah.
Or you can sit and look at the flies crawling over your food, which is not nice to me.
It's not nice, but you also just kind of get used to it. You have to sort of just deal with that. Like, that's life.
Yes. And certainly, like, it's definitely, like, magnified in different areas of the country, too.
Yeah, if you're, like, out somewhere bush, like, there's thousands of flies.
That's when it's, like, good luck keeping them off your face.
Yeah, you need good the luck. Little hat. You need the little cork hat.
Little corks.
Corks,
we can teach
maybe.
You about cork hats.
Yeah. You just hang like 20 corks around a bucket hat.
And we're not talking about the place called Cork.
You need to learn.
You might be confused.
They need to learn some of those secrets about like hanging up CDs, you know?
Oh, yeah.
All that shit where people have all their little like, you know, hang up a thing with water in it that gets the flies confused and they don't like it.
Well, like the electrocution machine. Yeah. I guess that's more for mosquitoes. Zapper. Yeah,
you've forgotten the old ways. We can teach you.
Mm.
Yes. Gemma, who has lived in Leicester Forest East for 9 years, paints a grim picture of the situation caused by the fly infestation, saying, you cannot socialize with your friends. You cannot even have a barbecue. You can. If you have the fucking will.
Yeah.
We ended up having an indoor barbecue this summer. It's just awful.
Oh, how terrible.
We've heard the Environment Agency have been carrying spot checks at the recycling centre, but they found they are not in breach. But we're still getting the issue and it's reoccurring, so what are we meant to do? We're still getting this problem.
Gemma said the situation had spoiled the children's summer holidays and said while she has considered moving, it is not an option due to family living nearby. She said, we bought so many fly products and none seem to work. Like products for the flies?
Yeah. That's it. There's your problem.
Covering yourself with honey.
Tiny Doritos. We have these candles burning all at once, but they are overpowering and make the kids cough.
Fucking... The flies. The candles are overpowering us before the flies.
These kids are crying, choking.
Oh, the candle's too spicy for me, Mummy.
Mother, when will the flies go away?
Oh.
You have to carry the candles around the rooms. The tapes are disgusting as they are up for a day and you're changing them. We've bought fly screens, but they don't really work.
Well, you got to close the door.
They do. You've got to keep the door closed all the time. And if your kid leaves it open, you got to say,
you're
born in a tent.
Yell at them. Yeah, they do work. I mean, they have to work. How are the flies getting there?
Braden, close
you're
the
letting them in.
What do you mean you tried some fly screens? Is that not just like something that you have?
I guess they don't because they don't have flies, right? Yeah.
Flies?
Yeah. We never had a fly screen in Hawaii because there just wasn't really flies around.
Derek Johnson, 61, said, "This is the worst it's ever been. I don't know how they can expect us to live like this."
Who?
Who
could expect?
They.
Who's responsible? God? God?
Woke. I think it's woke.
Probably woke.
Yeah.
"I buy a newspaper every day, but end up using it as a swatting device and sitting indoors to read it instead." Oh, no. Reading indoors. Fuck that.
Yeah, it's too hot in Australia to go outdoors.
It's probably like,
so what's your
they're probably
problem?
Talking about like, it's probably like 28 degrees or something, right?
Yeah.
God. "It's like being in a real life, but miniature version of the birds." We've been over this.
Yeah.
You've got it wrong. If it's a miniature version of the birds, you are also miniature. You know?
He's probably thought about this too, and that's the best way he could say that.
Best version of it he got out.
Best version.
Cultural touchstone, The Birds.
The Birds. Haven't seen it.
What's something more recent than The Birds you could reference for like being swarmed by something?
A fly.
Mm.
Yeah, that's just got a big fly and it doesn't even twist his own
it's
head
kind
off.
Of one big fly, huh?
Yeah.
One big
like,
fly.
It'd make the ending a bit easier if he could twist his own head off.
Yeah. Oh, that problem solved itself.
Kill. No, hang on.
But I guess the answer at the end of that movie was to blow Brundlefly's head off with a 12 gauge.
Yes.
So maybe that's what you should be looking into here, you know?
Yeah. Mm.
"It's got to the point where I can't wait for summer to be over." This guy's not having a brat summer.
He's not having. This is not brat.
Meanwhile, Alison Smith, also 61, a grandmother of two, is contemplating moving due to the infestation. She said the issue began a few years back and has progressively gotten worse each summer. She said,
"They're just everywhere. If you have a cup of tea outside, you have to share it with two or three flies."
Two or three.
Just wave them off.
Fuck, just wave them away. Just wave your hand in front of your face all day.
I know a British woman can say, "Shoo!"
Yeah, she definitely can.
If anyone can say it, it's Shoo! Pretty.
Bugger off!
You know? You can say that. Man, it's like these guys have never encountered, you know, sometimes in Australia you go to a cafe and they have these little like battery operated.
Yeah.
Spinny things.
Little spinny things.
The little battery operated things, and they've got a couple of paddles on them, and then you turn them on and they start spinning and the little paddles come up like a helicopter.
Oh, I've never
seen
that.
And it just sits there whirling around and you put
just
it
just
like
a fan for keeping flies off your
food. Yeah, you just put a couple of them around your plates of food and then a fly comes in and goes, "Whoa, don't get me."
We need to be airdropping aid to whales. Just boxes of this stuff ordered off of Alibaba.
Fly products.
"We have to sit eating dinner with these two fly trap spinners either side of us. There's a swatter in almost every room."
Mm-hmm.
Got a swatter in the dunny? Got a swatter in the dunny?
Probably.
She further explained the extent of the inconvenience the fly epidemic has caused.
"I don't know how far I'd have to move to escape the problem. We like it here, but we've heard reports of this happening within a 2 mile radius now."
Well, then 2 miles. That's how far
you are. 2 miles? You have to move 2 miles away?
You've sorted it out.
That doesn't even get me out of my suburb.
Probably in like a, there's probably a different accent 2 miles down the road in Wales.
Do they not? Do they? We have to have the window, we have to have the blinds down in the bedroom with the windows slightly open, which has been horrendous with the heat.
That's what the fucking fly screen's for.
That's what you need. You could don't leave the windows open. By the way, it's not like I looked up what a heat wave in Wales is. It's like 30 degrees.
Now, look, we don't want to get yelled at.
Yeah, don't yell at us. It's hot out here.
I understand that there are issues with both what you are acclimated to and also like how your buildings have been built. Mm. If historically all of the homes in your country were built to cope with like a maximum of 20 degrees, then they're not really going to deal with it when it's like 28 or 32 or whatever. We know, we get it. Don't yell at us. But you have to adapt if you want to survive, you know. Mm,
that's right.
Get some ceiling fans in there. Make a little ventilation through the house. Figure out how to work with a cross breeze. You know?
Here's the thing. It's only going to get hotter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't just be like.
Better get used to it.
Get that ceiling fan in early.
Don't be like, I can't wait till it cools down to how hot it was when I was young. Not happening.
Consider moving to temperate Tasmania, which is only getting nicer summers by the year.
Mm. Oh, boy. Yeah, it suddenly got real hot here in August. That's probably fine.
That's probably good.
So she has to move anywhere up to 2 miles away.
We have to have the blinds down the window.
So you've got to have your blinds down, windows slightly open.
If you got the chance to get out for the day, you'll do just that to escape the flies. We should not have to do that.
So there's a place you could go where there isn't flies? It sounds nice.
It sounds pretty good. I'll just stay home, personally.
Yeah. That's where your PS5 is.
That's where the PS5 is.
Is inside.
With the blinds and the windows closed.
Yeah.
Put a fan on.
Put a fan on. Point it at the PS5.
And kids.
Two fans.
If you're like, hey, summer of PS5... They're going to go, fuck yeah.
Thanks, Hell yeah. Nan. Thanks. Nana's the best.
Nana's the best.
Case Pack, a recycling firm, told the BBC, the company has, quote, always strived to be a responsible operator and a good neighbour. They said, we are aware of wider environmental issues within the Leicester Forest East area, including the increased fly activity reported by the residents. And then they hung up the phone.
Yeah.
What, do you want them to play God? You want them to make flies disappear? That's probably bad for the ecosystem.
Spend a day killing flies. The more flies you kill, the less flies there are, you know?
Yeah.
Take some responsibility.
I really need you not to move your eyes down on the notes.
All right. I'm not looking.
Okay. Please.
Right. I'm not doing it. Let me simply say, were I to be besieged by flies ruining my summer, ruining my brat summer, that would be the one thing I didn't want to happen. It's time for the one thing we didn't want to happen.
This is the one thing we didn't want to happen.
Ben's sort of got a rule that, you know, he has to find stuff himself and then it has to be recent. Fortunately, I have no such qualms.
There are no rules. Ben's away. And,
there are no rules. I've been putting stuff
in the notes that people sent in to me. You know, I don't care. Yeah. I'm loose with it.
And this one was posted in our own Discord, and it tickled me to high heaven. Mm-hmm. This is from the Occupational Safety and Health Administration's accident reports. Accident summary number 20135429. One employee is killed, one injured in explosion. Nothing funny there. Mm-hmm. Reminds me of the first day at uni when they had this professor get up and talk about, I think he was a chemical engineer, and he spent a long time in the States doing like investigations for insurance companies, and he specialized in like oxygen problems. Mm-hmm. So it turns out when you've got a bunch of oxygen in one place, and you know, for a fire, you need fuel, oxygen and heat. If you've got like an oxygen tank, you know, for breathing or whatever, or for feeding something, and something goes down the feed line, it could like really, it can pressurize it really quickly if it gets to the end and causes like a jam, and set fire to it. And then turns out everything is fuel when you put it next to oxygen. So like the hose is fuel, the metal tank is fuel, everything is fuel when you're mm-hmm. dealing with pressurized oxygen. And also if you have a big increase in pressure all of a sudden, PV equals NRT, I don't need to tell you guys that. Oh, the temperature goes way up, big fire, etc. Just keep that in mind as I read you the first sentence of this accident report.
Yeah.
Remember, pressurized oxygen, everything is fuel. On February 10th, 2012, employee number one, an equine therapist, was treating a horse that was inside a hyperbaric oxygen therapy chamber.
Oh, boy.
The horse became restless, kicked its hind leg up, and hit the rim seal of the aft access point. So, hyperbaric oxygen therapy chamber, hyperbaric, high pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. We're good on that. A spark was created and it quickly flashed to flame due to the rich oxygen content. Horse hair and fatty tissue became combustibles.
Oh, no.
The fire rapidly increased the pressure inside the vessel.
Oh, no.
And the automatic high pressure relief failed to open.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
You got an exploding horse in there.
Yeah. You just played horse explosion.
He exploded a horse.
Did you mean to explode that horse?
The pressure inside the chamber quickly exceeded the tank pressure rating and it caused the chamber to violently rupture. Employee number one was near the door of the chamber as it ruptured and she was killed as a result of her injuries. Employee number two was apparently struck by flying objects and she sustained unspecified injuries. She was transported to the hospital and was hospitalized. Keywords: oxygen, fire, horse, animal handler, explosion, high pressure, spark, struck by, mech malfunction.
Oh, that's nasty.
That might be one of the one things you don't want to happen.
It's right up there. That's like a Final Destination. Yeah. Final Destination 8.
Oh, I can imagine. So if I'm adapting this for Final Destination 8, right, the explosion happens, but then before the person gets killed, they get like coated in a big splat of like burning, boiling horse fat.
Yeah.
Mm.
That makes them go, ah.
And it's like jetting out of the valve. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then there's a secondary explosion and a whole bunch of pieces of metal from the tank like cut them apart.
And horse as well.
And horse, like horse bones.
A lot of horse bones. Yeah.
Horse bones. Maybe you get pierced by a big horse femur, you know.
Yeah.
But the pieces of scrap metal kind of fly through the person and they look all right for a second, but then their body like slides apart as though they've been chopped up by an anime guy.
I'm putting this as the first death too. So like they envision it and then they're like, don't go in there. That horse is going to explode. And everyone's like,
don't go in there.
Hey, I've got to do some horse therapy, but first I've actually got diarrhea. So...
Just going to go have some diarrhea.
I was supposed to die in that horse explosion, but I had diarrhea.
Survivor's guilt on the horse explosion.
I was supposed to die in that horse explosion. Why weren't you in there?
I was having diarrhea.
That's got to be like, that's a very unpleasant cleanup job too.
It's not nice.
When your hyperbaric
somebody had
horse
to clean that
therapy
up
therapy chamber explodes.
I feel like the worst way to find out that you were actually like through your lifetime you were psychic and you did have visions that were true
is that you had the horse explosion.
Is it like for the last 5 years you've been like every couple of months I have this fucking dream that I go into this hyperbaric horse treatment chamber.
And
it explodes and hot rendered horse fat coats my body and I die screaming. But that's not going to put me off my dream of becoming a horse therapist.
Yes.
You know, I'm not going to let that stop
specializing
me.
It's just oxygen-rich therapy.
It's just anxiety. It's just my subconscious expressing my anxiety about failing my horse therapy exam.
Yeah, that's definitely it.
You know? That's all it is. That's
finish
all
uni,
it is.
You're still having the dreams.
It's not that I am the horse version of the guy from the Dead Zone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know this is going to happen. That's not what it is. It's just, it's my subconscious, you know? And then on that day, the horse kicks the side of the tank and you think, fuck.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Mr. Play It Safe. He was afraid to trick horses.
You think to yourself, you've got to be fucking kidding me.
You're kidding.
That's kind of your last thought is like, yeah. I could have used this to win the lotto. You know, I could have bought the right stocks.
Yeah.
All that sort of thing. Instead, horse
as
femur.
The horse fat
horse femur straight
down,
through
he
the
thinks,
neck.
Well, isn't this nice?
A bunch of horse ribs, like, just shooting through your abdomen. It's fuck!
So
typical!
Shit. To think about.
Shit!
I hate Mondays! You know?
Mm.
Yeah.
Fuck. I'd be so mad. I would honestly.
I'd be so mad if
I'd be fucking pissed.
So, look, if you are having a lot of dreams that something that is kind of related to your career is going to kill you in a horrific fashion, maybe start exploring the possibility that you have latent psychic abilities, okay? That is just one of the PSAs that we are delivering to our listeners today. And here comes another one in PSA per segment.
Psoriasis makes your skin itch.
PSA! PSA!
Psilocybin makes you trip.
PSA! PSA!
Pseudonym is a fake name.
PSA! PSA!
Psychosis is illness of the brain.
PSA! PSA!
It's time for the PSA! It's a segment which is very sane. Important things, that's a PSA! A segment, attention you should pay to the root of this.
Oh my god. Where did that come from?
It was sent in to us by a listener.
By Danzig, by Glenn Danzig.
By Glenn Danzig. No, that was sent in to us by listener Adam.
That's sick.
Thank you.
Thank you, Adam.
Adam is a lawyer.
Wow. And he's in The Misfits. It's just a little palate cleanser. I want to say straight up, this is not a funny story. Like, it's not funny what happened.
Yeah, and it's the last one too.
It is. This is from the Daily Mail. I had my penis amputated after my cancer diagnosis. It was hell and mental torture because you lose all your confidence, your masculinity, and your identity.
Mm. Yeah.
It's just a little palate cleanser for the end.
Yeah.
A man who was diagnosed with a rare form of penile cancer before having his penis fully amputated has urged other men to look out for the warning signs. During Thursday.
Hold on. The warning signs that someone's amputating a penis?
No, I think of getting penile cancer. During Thursday's episode of ITV's This Morning, Craig Mycock.
No.
From Stockport.
No.
Craig Mycock.
No.
Craig Mycock.
Another try. That's a different name that he has.
Can't really think of any other way to pronounce it. It's M-Y-C-O-C-K.
What's the opposite of nominative determinism?
Craig, I'll always have my cock attached.
Craig had
poor
cock.
Craig Evercock.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh. Buddy.
Craig Mycock opened up about his hellish experience. Craig had no idea he had cancer in 2018 when he went to the doctor for an unrelated procedure to check his bladder. When Rylan asked Craig what it felt like to know he would lose his penis, he described the experience as simply hell. You lose all your confidence, your masculinity, your identity, really, he explained. He went on to say he would never have recovered mentally if it weren't for his partner of 33 years, Colette Daniels, and his family. I just think that's nice.
Yeah.
It is nice.
Sharing her side of things, Colette said.
Critical support.
Yeah. Colette said, the mental health side of it was the most difficult for me because seeing Craig go from a man's man and a joker to someone who sat in a chair and didn't speak for days and never went out. If he went out and saw someone, he'd run away. That hurt me more to see him shrivel up into a shell of nothing.
So he can't bear to see anybody?
He can't bear to see anyone because he's got no cock.
Because he's got no penis?
Because he's got no penis.
Oh, Craig, buddy.
Colette says, Craig to me is the bravest man on this earth. I think that's beautiful.
You're still a man, Craig.
Looking out for a man with no cock. Just for the PSA, Dr. Nyhat appeared on the show to give her advice on how men can check themselves for the first signs of penile cancer so you don't become like Craig Mycock. She said that penile cancer is fortunately rare, affecting only 700 men a year. She noted that prostate cancer, which is much more common, still faces a lot of stigma and taboo.
Which is wild, right? Because the prostate, nobody knows what it does.
Huh? Yeah.
Apart from makes you cum.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else is it for?
We know that much. It's probably to do with one of the fluids.
Yeah. All right. She encouraged men.
Probably making stuff wet is my guess.
Probably.
Well, as John Early says in his stand-up special, if not now, when? Is that what it's called? He's like, it feels so good. It can't have been a mistake. There has to be an evolutionary reason.
Yeah.
Men to look out for a number of warning signs to get checked. Any skin changes, persistent changes, meaning over 4 weeks, any irritation, any rash, a discharge as well, isn't normal, or any blood. It's really important then to go a little further from the genitals, look in the groin area, because you can get lumps in the groin, just like we would say for breasts, to look under the armpit and the neck, look under the groin. Men, check your penises.
Look under the groin as well.
Look under your penis, above your penis.
Anyone with a penis, just check around that.
Yeah. You know?
If your name is like...
For any lumps, distinctions.
Stephen No Dick... It's like Johnny Lost Cock. Check above, under the groin, in the groin.
If you've got a name that strongly suggests Final Destination style, that your penis is going to get obliterated, start looking now. Just do a little preemptive checking, you know?
Also, just loving picturing Craig running away from any guys he sees down at the pub.
Oh, that's really sad.
Because he's got no penis. So
do your mates know?
You tell him?
Surely. I mean, look, if you've got the right mates, then it's fine, right? Like, this seems like a them problem.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say it. I don't think that my friends only like me because of my beautiful cock.
Yeah.
You know? Probably not, though.
Probably the least important thing to them.
Poor Craig. I really feel for him.
I really feel for being depressed. He lost his penis.
Let us just say to Craig, solidarity. It's not a penis that makes you a man.
Yeah, you are the bravest man on earth.
That's right. Putting your name in the paper.
Putting your name, Craig Mycock, on the TV, in the paper. TV. This man has no penis.
Yeah.
Have you seen this man? His name is a lie. Oh, boy. Wow. That was an episode of the podcast, What Division.
Sure.
Wow.
Do you think you could just get bottom surgery after you lost your penis?
Maybe.
All I'm saying is try to make lemonade, you know?
Yeah. There's things you can do.
You could just find a new way. The prostate.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. That was an episode of Bunta Vista.
Folks, we will see you on the bonus episode. That's at patreon.com/Bunta Vista if you are not a subscriber.
You should be.
Should be. Honestly, if you're not, kind of offended.
I'm
a little... Yeah. If you don't mind the idea of me going about the rest of my day being a little pissed off, then sure, don't subscribe. But if you don't want to contribute to that, maybe head on over to buntavista.com.
Sign up. Check your penis.
Check your penis. Ask other people to check your penis for you. Yeah,
check it twice.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.
See you.
Thank you.